It's been a good study, hasn't it? I hope you've enjoyed this study on the Heidelberg Catechism as much as I have been. It's been a very thought-provoking and very encouraging study. And this week, we are kind of moving along in our consideration of all the content of the Heidelberg Catechism to the section that deals with the sacraments, but in particular what I want to talk about with all of you is that of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always kind of gets short shrift on things. You know, if you do the Apostles' Creed, I can look at it from here and it says, I believe in the Holy Ghost. One sentence, and it's not even a long sentence. I think the Holy Spirit needs to get a better lawyer to represent its case. But the Holy Spirit is more than just an afterthought, more than just a third leg of a stool to hold the Trinity together. And so I'd like us to ponder that a little bit today, and one of the places that help us to understand it is in the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. And we'll begin with the 22nd verse. Just a few short verses, but a lot of thoughtful material in here for us to hear. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. May the Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. I enjoy looking at all the different denominations that are out there because every denomination has a different heritage and a different element that they bring to the whole family of what the Christian church is. And one of the ones, or several of the ones that intrigue me, are the ones that take the name primitive. There are primitive Baptists. There are primitive Methodists. There might be others that I'm not aware of, but those are the two main ones. But their claim or their desire in taking that name upon themselves is the desire to get back to the New Testament church, to get back to the days when the church was just being established and the church was fresh and new. So their desire in taking the name primitive is not implication of going back to caves or anything like that, but it is a desire to reestablish the church as it was in the first days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's a great and noble goal, isn't it? I mean, you think about it and you go, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it, to go back and be like they were in the early church? Well, the problem was the early church was filled with people. And those people were not any different than all of us are today. Those people brought to the early church the same kinds of things that we bring to the church, and that is our humanness, our natural nature, our natural tendency to see things our way and not necessarily to see things the way that God would have us to see them. And so the early church, for all of our looking back and kind of glorifying it, the early church was, well, quite frankly, it was a mess. It was a very difficult time in the life of the church. And all you have to do is to read the Acts of the Apostles and to read Paul's letters to the early churches, and you quickly come up with the thought that, you know what? They didn't have their act together. They were doing a lot of things that we just would cringe at that they were doing. And one of the issues that Paul talks about a lot in his writings to the early church was, what is the Holy Spirit doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing within the life of the church? And there's a whole section of 1 Corinthians that he deals with that very question. Because in the early church, one of the issues that they were arguing over and fighting about was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there were those in the early church who felt that they were better Christians because they had different gifts of the Spirit than others had. There were those who spoke in tongues that thought that they were better than those who had the gift of interpretation. There were those who had the gift for hospitality, and they thought that they were better than the people who had the gift of healing, and so on. And there was this strife within the early church because everybody wanted some special gift from the Holy Spirit. Every one of them wanted to have some gift from the Holy Spirit that would you know, kind of show that they were important, that they were essential to what God was doing in that time and in that place. Well, Paul tried to explain to them that the Holy Spirit doesn't give us gifts to glorify ourselves. Gives us gifts to serve one another, to serve the world around us. Gives us gifts to be better able to become the people who reflect the love of God into this world. To become the people that look and sound and act a little bit more like Jesus, so that Jesus' love might become visible in a world that needs to see that love. And so Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he just kind of laid it out for them. You know, it's not about whether you speak in tongues. It's not whether or not you have the gift of interpretation. It's not whether you can heal somebody who is sick. It's not about any of those things. What the Holy Spirit is about is these few things. The fruit of the Spirit. If you want to know whether the Holy Spirit is present in your life, then the outgrowth, the outcropping of the Spirit's presence in your life will look like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that sound like things that are going to call attention to you? Or those things that are going to change who you are and how you live in your life? It's kind of funny because the early church was so consumed with what the Holy Spirit was doing in their midst that it became central to who they were and how they identified themselves. But ironically, over the course of time, and by the time of the Reformation and by the time of the writing of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Holy Spirit was almost a postscript hidden down in the commentaries. The Holy Spirit was almost a forgotten element of the life of the church. But the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism wanted to bring the Holy Spirit back up to us and help us to see that the Holy Spirit is God's presence in our lives, changes our hearts, changes the way that we live, enables us to become the people who reflect Christ's love through our lives, enables the church, using all of those gifts together, to reflect God's love in a world that needs that love, to be the light of God's love in a world that is filled with darkness. So when we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, we're saying so much more than those few words can communicate. When we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, we are saying that God is able and willing and desires to change our lives, to be His people, to reflect His love, to be His witnesses, to do His work in this world. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. For in Your Holy Spirit, You are present in each of our lives. You are present in our life together as this church and as a part of the body of Christ in this world. O gracious Lord, let Your Holy Spirit rest upon our hearts in miraculous ways, not in ways that cause us to do things that create glory for us, but in ways that cause us to create glory for You. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake.